Turn in your New King James Bible, please, to Psalm 11, our next psalm as we go through our cycle in the psalm meditation. Psalm 11, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?
For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart.
If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?
The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men.
The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence his soul hates.
Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup.
For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Amen. Okay, as we continue on through here, you'll notice that in the cycle of Psalms we're in, we have seen persecution. We have seen the inward looking of the saint as he undergoes persecution, looking into his heart. We have seen the saint looking into the hearts of the wicked. The saint here with the eyes of the Spirit to look into the very soul of men. We have seen in the last several Psalms looking into the souls, the hearts of the wicked. Why do they persecute the righteous? What do they seek to gain? What is their motivation? Why do they do this? But here today we're going to look at something that is rarely seen in Scripture. I want everybody to pay attention to this, because here we have the psalmist looking into the heart of a friend who needs help, but a friend who's trying to help the psalmist, to help the saint in a time of trouble. I have forgotten to start that. I'll get it next. The beginning of this psalm, we see the psalmist in a persecution in the time of trouble. And it begins here, in the Lord I put my trust. How can you, looking to the friend, say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain, for look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now this was written during a time in David's life, of course, when he was being persecuted. And when his friends and advisors would come to him and say, run, run away. You need to run, you need to flee to your mountain, to hide in your fortress in the hills. As you did when Saul chased you, go hide in the mountains, in the caves. Because, David, you're too important. We need you to be saved, for what shall the rest of the righteous do if you were to be lost? Now, we see the same thing happen in the life of Christ. Whereas he was getting ready to go to Jerusalem to die, the apostles saying to him, but Lord, no, this can't happen to you. But no, you can't go there. We need to get you away, take you to safety. We see Peter himself drawing his sword to attack, to save his Lord. Now in both of these situations, the friends were being true. The friends were being helpful. They were trying. The friends were trying to be loving, kind, considerate, caring. They were trying to take care of things. They saw that they were friends of an important one that everybody was depending on. And they saw their place as trying to protect, trying to serve, trying to take care of this important one. The one that was said to be the foundation. Look in verse 3 again and think in your heart as being the friend. Think of yourself being there when Jesus was being arrested, knowing he was going to his crucifixion. And thinking to yourself, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? This is Peter, as he went on to deny Christ during the trial, because what can the righteous do if the foundations are destroyed? Here we have a friend trying to help the important one, because even though they're going to die, they may as well die with their Lord. But really, they were the ones who needed help. They're the ones who needed concern. They're the ones who needed care. So we see starting in verse 4 now, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, But the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals. Fire and brimstone and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. Now we see that Jesus is the head cornerstone, or as the psalm puts it, the foundation that all the rest of the structure is built upon. But that chief cornerstone, as he was still alive on earth, had his own thing to rest upon, didn't he? King David, the king of Israel, the head of the covenant people on earth in his time, was the foundation for the righteous. But he had his own thing to rest upon, didn't he? In both of these cases, the foundation remembered that they had the Father to rest upon, that Yahweh is in his holy temple. Now, does that sound familiar, that line? It's found in many places through the Psalms and a couple other places throughout Scripture. I didn't actually write them down, so I can't tell you what they are. But in times of trouble, in times of persecution, in times of being unsure, all we have to remember is that Yahweh is in his holy temple. And he has his plan. And he has his power. And he has his spirit. His eyes behold. You think you've just discovered a hidden danger that's going to destroy everything that you know, everything that you love. But just remember, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven, and his eyes behold. He knows what your trouble is. He knows what the wicked is doing. He loves you. Now notice here, let's look in verse 5. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence his soul hates. You're going through trouble. Is it because God has forgotten you? Well, no, it's because he's testing you. But he tests you because he loves you. But he punishes the wicked because he hates them. They will be destroyed, but we see in verse 7, for the Lord, why will they be destroyed? Because, for the Lord is righteous, and he loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. That is a weak and beggarly way of trying to express the thought that's in that. It doesn't come across at all in the English. But his face beholds. The light of his face falls upon the righteous. His face beholds. He sees. He bears up. He keeps in view. He stays with the upright, his beloved. You're not lost. You're never missing. You're never hidden. But more to the point, the face of God shines his blessing upon you. God is with the righteous. So here we see something that's not, as we often see in the Psalms, an imprecatory or cursing psalm upon the wicked addressed to them. This isn't even an address to those who are in trouble of God's grace and how you don't need to worry. This is something that we don't see very often, but so often need to hear. That our friend, our foundation, when we see in trouble, God is on his side too. God is on the side of the church. God is on our side as the body of Christ on earth. And we need to remember, even though it seems that the things we care for are falling, God, his countenance, beholds the upright, and he will rescue his people. Amen. We'll now sing Psalm 11, and as we have no options, we'll just...